Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Really quickly, I would like you to get out your 10 fingers and try to remember the 10 commandments. There is a good chance you will remember the one about the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Probably that one about honoring mother and father, and a few others. But it is my suspicion that remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy is one of the 10 that would be your first 4. Good guess? It is one of the 10 commandments that we are very likely to remember. We can lose track of the other 9, but that one we'll remember. And what we don't know about this one commandment is that there are 2 traditions behind it. This commandment appears in 2 different places in the Bible. The first is the oldest, and it might be the one that we associate with the Exodus from Egypt, with Moses going up on the mountain, and with that whole thing about not gathering too much manna on day 6. And gathering enough on day 6 to last until day 7. It's this idea of the Sabbath being one among many laws that are kept because the Lord your God delivered you from captivity in Egypt and has made covenant with you to be your sovereign God, and you have said yes to that covenant to be God's people. It's a way of honoring God, and along with all those other laws that everyone who reads Leviticus absolutely loves, it also has to do with how we treat our neighbors, how we treat the foreigners who live in our land, how we treat widows and orphans, and how we treat everybody as a way of honoring God. And the Sabbath is one of those ways of honoring God and reminding ourselves of how dependent we are upon God's provision, because one day we're not going to work for everything we get. We're going to honor God that way. The second tradition is not as old, and it comes from the exile, where the creation story in Genesis 1 is generated by that community of faith. And in that tradition about the Sabbath day, why do we keep the Sabbath? Because when the Lord God began creating the heavens and the earth, God rested on the 7th day. Now these 2 traditions, one about honoring God and honoring all human relationships, and the one about resting on the 7th day because the Lord did, those 2 traditions existed side by side for hundreds of years. One did not negate the other. There was no friendly competition. They simply existed side by side. Now, by the time Jesus walks the earth, it's fairly clear which of those 2 traditions now dominates. The one that has been promoted by the Pharisees is the one about resting on the 7th day, because the Lord rested on the 7th day. And like all good biblical scholars, the Pharisees have spent a generation or more being very careful to define what it means to rest on the Sabbath. It's like, can we do this? No. Can we do that? Yes. And over a generation or two or three, they have done this answering, is it okay to heal a sick person on the Sabbath? No. Is it okay to lead your donkey to water? Yes. Is it okay to care for an ill relative on the Sabbath? Oh, yeah, see, we don't know, right? But they went into detail about what it meant to rest and what it meant to work. Our lesson from Luke begins by telling us something that makes a difference. That it's the Sabbath day, and Jesus is at the synagogue. Please note, we know nothing of the dialogue that has already taken place there, yet I will give you the idea that the incident with the disciples prior to this Sabbath day is the parable of the fig tree. Anybody know it? You do, because it's always confused you. Why would Jesus expect a fig tree to bear fruit out of season? But he expects that fig tree to bear fruit. An interesting and baffling parable. And then he's at the synagogue. We could say he's minding his own business when one of the worshipers walks in. Has everybody in this room seen a woman with severe osteoporosis? Right? 18 years of looking at the ground. Right? Anybody want to go there? 18 years of bent over. That's a horribly long time. And please note that Jesus speaks to her. She does not make a request of him. Jesus basically says to her, uninvited, daughter, you are made well. And then he touches her. And of course, we need to remind ourselves of the significance of touch in ancient culture, where a clean person would never consider touching an unclean person. And by the way, the woman, because of her illness, is considered an unclean person. So very quickly here, Jesus is breaking two really important rules, right? Well, actually, maybe three. He's speaking to a woman who is unrelated to him. He is healing her, and he is touching her. Three strikes, you're out. And it's not the healing that's the problem, right? It's not even that he's spoken to a woman to whom he is not related that becomes the issue. It's, guess what, friends? It's the day of the week. It's a Sabbath day. A day some of us recall when about the only business that was open was maybe one gas station in town or the drugstore where you could pick up your Free Press or your Detroit News. Right? Some will even recall that parents didn't even cook on that day because whatever food was prepared was for the day was prepared the day before. And I have not yet heard a conversation amongst myself and people older than me where we don't kind of sigh about how sad it is that no one honors the Sabbath day anymore. Because Meijer is open 24/7. Of course, the only day they're closed is on Christmas. And everybody else is not that far behind. The problem is the day of the week. Now, on the Pharisees' side, they're right. This woman has been bent over for 18 years. What difference is one more day going to make? She didn't ask to be healed. She had no expectation of walking out of there standing straight. So what would have been the big deal if Jesus had just waited one day? It could have done it tomorrow. Her life wasn't in danger. Right? I mean, there's no urgency here. Jesus has broken a tradition. And what do we think about people who break with tradition? Lots of problems here on the part of the Pharisees. The biggest, of course, is that their understanding of the Sabbath has been violated. Because what is the Sabbath day for? Complete rest. Complete and total rest is what's supposed to be happening on the Sabbath day, and Jesus has just worked. Big problem. So what's going on here? We know for sure that when Jesus mentions that even they would lead their oxen or their donkey to water, that silences the opposition immediately. They have nothing to say. But part of what Jesus is doing in this encounter on the Sabbath is he is reclaiming that other Sabbath tradition that had been suppressed for generations. Because when the woman came to the synagogue, what did the Pharisees see and what did Jesus see? They may have been looking at the same individual, but they did not see the same person. The Pharisees saw someone who was suffering, probably because she deserved it. You know, all illness is earned in biblical times. Jesus sees someone, a daughter of Abraham, he calls her, who deserves to be free from the burden of illness. Now, what's interesting about that older of the two traditions that's connected with the Exodus, I would ask those of you who've been to Sunday school for a long time to let's stop and think about what the Exodus means. Freedom from slavery, right? Freedom from oppression. Freedom from bondage, freedom from homelessness, freedom from all kinds of things. And now these people who Moses led out of Egypt are free to be God's people. And so is the woman now. Free from her own burdens, her own oppression. The burden of illness, the burden of looking at the ground for 18 years, the burden of all those people who whisper as she walks by, the burden of everybody wondering what she did to deserve what she's got. The burden of no one wanting to have any kind of social contact with her whatsoever, let alone the people in her own synagogue, when the rules say they can't be near her. Jesus is reclaiming a Sabbath tradition long forgotten and long suppressed. One which says we honor God and we honor the Sabbath when we care for the oppressed and the broken and the beaten down. When we care for those whom society would tell us are so marginal we don't need to worry about them. What opportunity do we see on the Sabbath day for complete rest, or is there not another way of honoring God and recognizing God's holiness? Jesus, of course, by his healing the woman on the Sabbath, is saying absolutely there is another way of honoring God and recognizing God's holiness. And it is to remove those burdens and those oppressions those things that keep people from living life to the fullest and in the presence of God. And what do we see? Do we see a woman dancing, celebrating her new found physical abilities, her final ability to stand up straight? Or do we see a reason to nitpick, for lack of a better word? Do we see a cause for arguing with Jesus? Time and time again, the question for us is, which way of looking at the Sabbath do we prefer? Now, I will commend complete rest. Having just been on vacation, I will highly commend it. Time away to just sit and be and not do. And it was a great thing for 7 days. I'll go next week if I could. There is something about complete rest that is important. But beyond the complete rest, there's something about realizing that life itself does not depend on our hard work or effort. At some point, we've got to just rest and let God handle it. And by the way, let's do that before the situation gets so out of control we finally have to admit we can't handle it anyway. There's something to be commended about Sabbath rest. And I urge each and every one of you to do that, to take that time to be totally reliant on God. Yet there's also something to be said for that more ancient tradition. What does it mean to be God's person in the world? Is it inactivity? Or is it activity? Is it mending the brokenhearted? Is it healing the ill? Is it visiting those who are in prison? Jesus calls us as his followers to this way of honoring the Sabbath and making it holy. Jesus calls us to that active obedience of the Sabbath. Amen.